If you have your Bibles with you today, I want to invite you to open it up to John chapter 13. John 13. And over the next several weeks, as we're preparing to go into Easter, I want to teach from some passages where it was right before Jesus went to that cross to resurrect from a grave. And John 13 is one of those passages. And what Jesus is really doing here in this passage is he's connecting his followers to what he refers to as the mission of the church. And I really want to dive into this today because I really think the church has a mission. And one of the great ways that we can begin to help with the mission that God has for us as a church is to know that we're approaching Easter celebration, where we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But it's a great time for us to jump in and be who God has designed us to be. And so we're going to be talking to the church family over the next several weeks, really encouraging us to be who God has designed us to be, because we're inviting people to come and see what God wants to do in their life. What I love about Jesus as a communicator is Jesus doesn't only communicate with his mouth and what he desires for people to become or even revealing who he is. Jesus communicates through his actions, through what he does. And so Jesus is God in the flesh. We know this from studying the scriptures. He came from heaven to earth and he was born as a human. But he didn't come only to use his human voice. He came to use his actions while he was in the flesh to teach us what it really means to be a human. What God designed us for, what he created us for as human beings. And today we're going to kind of step into learning from Jesus as he's communicating to his followers or his disciples right before he goes to the cross. And we'll begin with verse 1 there in John 13, and this is what the scripture says. It says, it was before the Passover celebration, the Jewish festival where they would celebrate Passover year after year. The Bible says it's right before that celebration, and Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had come from heaven to earth, and now it's time for him to go back into the heavens. We know that as the ascension of Christ today. And the Bible goes on to say, but he had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. The Bible goes on to say, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority, that he had given Jesus authority over everything, and that he had come from God, and he would return to God. Now, this is very significant in the life of a believer, because what Jesus is doing is the Bible's revealing that Jesus knew who he was. He knew where he come from, and he knew where he was going. But remember, Jesus doesn't only teach with his mouth. He teaches with his actions. And what he's doing at this particular setting is he's teaching his followers who they are and who they are becoming. He's teaching them some things about himself. Jesus is teaching some things about himself, but understand his audience is his followers, and he's trying to help them get what they're created to do. Just like he's trying to help you get what you're created to do. And the Bible says here in this passage that Jesus knew where he come from and he knew where he was going. And so he got up from the table and he begins to do something that is unthinkable in that culture. And so what this reveals to us is Jesus was highly confident in who he was. And see, what God wants you to know is he wants you to be confident in who you are. What he's teaching is, if you know who you are in Christ Jesus and you know where you are going, you need to have confidence to do what God is asking you to do. Come on. And Jesus is revealing that he's highly confident in who he is. Who he is in his skin, in the flesh. He's God in the flesh, but he's fully confident in who he is. Not arrogant, but confident. There's two different things. But oftentimes when people are confident in who God says they are, people will read it as arrogance. But Jesus isn't being arrogant, he's being very confident. He steps into who he is because he's highly confident in where he's going. And what I want you to understand is God wants you to have what we refer to in the church world as Godfidence. Confidence in who God says you are. In other words, confident in who he's made you to be. Confident in your assignment here on earth. Confident to step in with his family and be exactly who he has created you to be. And not letting anyone else guide or direct, you know what, that confidence that God desires for you to have. Because there's things in the world that will begin to discourage who God has created you to be. And God don't want you to be discouraged in who you are to be. But imagine Jesus, he's going to a cross. He knew why he'd come to earth. He knew he had left heaven, all the royalty to come here and serve humanity. But can I tell you something? He had to have confidence in order to go to that cross. He had to have confidence that God was going to do exactly what he was going to do. The Father was going to do what he was going to do. And so Jesus, he's displaying here that he wants us to be a confident people, a humble people, but with confidence, humble before God and who he is and all the good things that come from him. He wants us to be humble towards that. In other words, not prideful like we deserve it, but you know what? He wants us to be confident that we have been blessed with his goodness. Come on. And he wants us to step into the world with that confidence. And so in order to develop that confidence, oftentimes what God will do is he'll put you in the game and he'll begin to work in you and work through you. And you may have some things come against you, but understand it's always to build you up, not to tear you down. Jesus is highly confident. He's not puffy, stuffy, you know, kind of guy. He's confident in who he is. He's powerful. He's the God of the universe. And the Bible says that he doesn't basically use his title to prove his worth. Because of who he is, he steps powerfully into his assignment. You know, oftentimes people want a position. They want a title. And so that they can exercise, you know, a certain amount of authority. But Jesus didn't have to have a position or a title to exercise his authority. In other words, he was fully confident in who he was and what he came to do. And in spite of what come against him or who come against him, he would keep moving forward with his assignment. And what I'm saying to the church is we have an assignment. And oftentimes the world around us wants us to snuff out that assignment. It wants us to think that we're not powerful. And again, that, you know what, you're just a, you know, just a bunch of regular people. And that's exactly right. We're a bunch of regular people that has been empowered by the all-powerful God to do something amazing in our community. To step fully into who God has called us to be. And so, you know, whenever the world around us says, no, 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 you can't become great. You can't shine for God. You can't be a light on a hill. You can't be a display for God in this community. You can't be awesome with the incredible love of God and show it, you know what, without anything in return, just begin to give unconditionally to the world around you because it's flowing in and flowing out. See, if you're gonna do that, you got to be confident. You got to be confident that the supply is there. And so as we move into this Easter season, and you begin to think about giving out these invite cards, I want you to realize that, you know, you're not giving it out because you feel like somebody deserves the invite. You're giving it out of your heart because you know everyone deserves to connect with an all-powerful God so he can begin to change and transform their life so that they can become all that he has created them to be. In other words, don't look at the individual for who they are. Begin to look at the individual for who they can become. Come on. And begin to say, you know what? You're invited to experience God. You're invited to step in to who God says they are. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, God has not given his people the spirit of timidity. Listen to this. But of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Can I tell you something? That should be the mark of the church. That should be the mark. That should be the sign of the church. The people of God called out of darkness into the wonderful light. It's not a spirit of timidity. It's a spirit of true confidence. That God is who he says he is. He called me out of darkness into the wonderful light. And I'm going to display self-discipline. I'm going to display love, and I'm going to display the power with the gift that God gave me in order to let the world around us know who he is. My friend, God has given you a gift. And if you begin to let people around you discourage you with that gift, you know what? The church never becomes great. In other words, the gift that God puts inside of you sometimes scares people. It sometimes makes them afraid. And can I tell you why it makes them afraid? Because they know that, you know what, if that gift begins to exercise itself, it's going to begin to challenge them to become better. And most people are satisfied with the mediocre, to stay the same. And my friend, but God doesn't give you a gift so people can stay the same or a church can stay the same. God gives you a gift to challenge, to encourage, to begin to cause everything to step up and go higher and higher and higher and higher. Come on. Listen to me. Jesus is fully confident in who he is. And he's getting ready to do what he's getting ready to do in this passage so that the disciples will be challenged to do more with their life. So they'll be challenged to do more with their life. And so we got to always be the person that's willing to do, you know, whatever God calls us to do at whatever stage. But we can't be satisfied with not developing our spiritual gift. We can't stay the same. You don't get a spiritual gift and that spiritual gift don't never grow. Listen to me. That spiritual gift is given to you to encourage the body of Christ. That spiritual gift is given to you to sharpen the body up, to help the body become more healthy. It is given to you so the church can be the church in the community and begin to operate with incredible power. Love and self-discipline. But when people want to stay the same, they get intimidated by the gift. Because the gift that God gives you and God gives me is to help each other rise and begin to show love and display God's amazing power to the community around us. Jesus came to make us better, not to leave us the same. And so, you know, again, I want us to be a church that operates during this Christmas season with what Jesus teaches in this passage. Let's be confident in who God called us to be. Let's keep rising up and becoming better. It's not okay to stay the same in the body of Christ because God is always growing us. As a matter of fact, when you stop growing, you start dying. And so many people, you know, just want to stop growing. And again, I do believe that we're created to be human, to be eternal beings, but to make a world of difference while we are here on earth. And the Bible says Jesus knew it was time for him to return to the Father, but he began to display incredible, incredible confidence. Let's keep reading. The Bible says this in verse 4 of John 13. The Bible says, because he was confident, look at this, he got up from the table. He took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, the one that's full of pride, okay, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Are you going to humbly serve me? Are you going to take the place of a servant and you're going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. You don't understand, Simon, why I am choosing to take on the form of a servant and serve you and wash your feet. Because you're full of pride and you don't think leaders know it, oftentimes go to the bottom to help other people rise up. And he says, but Simon, you got it all wrong. And Simon Peter even protests. He says, you will never, ever wash my feet. And Jesus replied, he's teaching something very theological here about God. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, well then, wash my hands and my head as well. Lord, not just my feet. And Jesus tells him, Jesus replied, he said, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for their feet to be entirely clean before God. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For he knew that there was one in the room who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, it says, not all of you are clean. And so here, Jesus isn't just demonstrating confidence. He takes a step with that confidence. He begins to serve. Remember, Jesus isn't only teaching with his words, he's teaching with his actions. And he begins to serve those around him, and they're kind of thrown off with him taking on this form of a servant, beginning to wash their feet. And Peter says, no, you're the leader. You don't do that. And Jesus says, I get what you're thinking here, but you don't understand really, Peter, how to change the world, and you don't really understand how I come to change your life. I come to forgive human beings once for all the sins of the world. I came to die on the cross once for all the sins of the world. This is before the cross, and he's teaching Jesus, or he's teaching Peter that, you know what? I only have to forgive once for all the sins of the world. I did it one time. My sacrifice was good for all sin everywhere. And so Jesus is teaching something very theological about what he's getting ready to do and who God is. But he's teaching it while he's on earth before he goes to a cross to Peter. He's basically saying, you know what? The penalty for sin is forgiven because of my sacrifice. And I only have to do it once to pay the penalty of sin for all. In other words, I'm the one who comes to connect people from missing the mark of God, forgive them of that, and bring them back into right relationship with God through the sacrifice I'm going to make on a cross. You only got to be bathed once, Peter. You know, I only got to bathe your body one time. But if you want to experience the power of God and the leadership of God and the connection of God over and over again, keep coming back to me so that I can wash your feet. Listen to this. See, he's revealing that he only had to die once to forgive you of the penalty of sin. And you receive that in your heart. But he's also revealing to you that if you want to operate by the power of God in your life, continually come back and let God brush you up. See, this is where a lot of people miss it. A lot of people say, well, I come to God and I'm forgiven of my sin. But you don't have to continually come back to God and let him brush you up. See, if you're going to experience the power of God operating in your life and through your life, it means I don't come back to continually get forgiven of my sins over and over because I'm going to be disconnected with God. I keep coming back to God because I know who God is. He's washed me once with the blood sacrifice of Jesus, and I want to keep coming back and getting brushed up so I can live by the power of God in my life every single day. Come on. And so many of us miss this. We keep coming back to God. Oh, God, forgive me. I don't want to go to hell today. You know, again, you know, you've been delivered. If you believed in Jesus, his sacrifice was good once and for all of your sin. But the true reason for you continue to operate in that is because you don't understand the connection that he made with the Heavenly Father. And God wants you to operate, you know, now by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He wants to continue to brush you up daily. Begin to get in his word. Begin to pray. Begin to commune with God on a regular basis. Not just once a week, but daily. Begin to commune with God daily. Jesus is demonstrating so much as he's spending these last hours with his disciples at the supper table. And he's saying, man, I'm teaching you how to make a difference with your life. I want you to have full confidence, and I want you to take a step towards, you know what, God, and begin to let God do something amazing in your life. And I wrote this down in my journal years ago, is what Jesus decides to do at this table is he decides to take on a form of a servant, and he decides before he is served by anybody in the room, he goes first and begins to serve others. I want you to understand that's what real leaders do. Real leaders in life begin to take on the form of a servant and serve those around them before they're ever served by anybody. Other words, they're not afraid to take a step and take action because they can foresee what is out in front of the action. And Jesus wasn't waiting for them to respond before he did what he did. He went first because he was the true leader in the room. And he's demonstrating that, you know what? I'm not afraid to wash your feet. I know I hold the high position of being your teacher. I know I hold the high position of being your Lord, but I'm not afraid to get down on my knees and wash your feet to help you understand the power of God in your life. Because if I can ever get you to connect with the power of God, I don't have to keep coming down and washing your feet. In other words, you'll learn to wash your own feet. And you'll learn to get up and begin to change the world with the destiny that God gave you. So many people miss this. Jesus is teaching not just an audible lesson here. Jesus is communicating with his actions as he's demonstrating true leadership and how to change the world. He's demonstrating, you know what? This is how you make a difference. This is how you change society. Not by being a political king, but having a servant's heart. It's not by politics. It's by looking around and seeing the potential in the people in you or around you. It's beginning to say, you know what? I believe that God created you just like he created me. No matter who you are, what background you come from, no matter how off target you've gotten, I believe that you come from God. I believe that God created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Something might have got you off target. Something might have jacked you up in life. Somebody might have raised you wrong. Somebody might have done something to you. You might have been in the wrong environment. But the reality of it is, it doesn't matter what environment you're in, where you've been born to, there is a God that can come into your life. He can raise you up and do something powerful. And the church's job is to call that out, to call it out of people, the greatness out of people, And begin to say, there is a God who wants to use you, connect with you. He wants to build you up. He wants you to learn to be a servant in this world and begin to display his character around you. And so there's a God who sees more in you than you see in yourself. And if you're living in a position where you're constantly wanting to be served by others, I invite you to let the God of the universe serve you. Because when the God of the universe serves you, you begin to take on a servant's heart and transfer that to others around you so that they can know that they have a purpose and a destiny too. It's beginning to understand that you know, people sometimes have it all wrong and the world has gotten off target and they're trying to elevate themselves by, opinions and being right and belonging to the right groups and all of these kind of things. And Jesus says, no, it's about knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. He takes on the form of a servant. Philippians 2 says we should have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Though he didn't consider equality with God as something to cling to, Philippians 2 says he took on the form of a servant and became a human being. And see, sometimes we don't have to join in with somebody else's sin. But what we have to do is get among them in their sin. Come on. And take on who God has called us to be and begin to show and display the glory of God in the circumstance and situation so that they can come out of darkness and step into the wonderful light. So sometimes we have to step in to their environment, but not become a product of their environment. It gets real touchy. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, when you step into their environment, oftentimes the environment is very strong and it'll begin to pull you down instead of help elevate them up. Yeah. See, some people say, I've been forgiven of Jesus, so I'm going to go into this environment. I'm going to begin to show Jesus to these people, but they're not continually communing with Jesus and letting him wash them daily. And as they get back in that environment, it happens in variations of ministry sometimes, because when they get back in that environment gets to pull and suck on them because they're not continually going back and letting Jesus wash them, empower them, continually letting Jesus, tell them who they are. And I can tell you right now, if you don't commune with God daily, there's enough influence around you that it'll suck you back in to being dead and just hanging out. It's about having confidence in God, my friend. And it's about letting him elevate you to become great in life. And again, yes, we want to be relevant to the culture around us, but we don't want to be influenced by the culture. In other words, we want to influence the culture around us to come out of what's drying up their life. It's Jesus is demonstrating something very powerful. He's demonstrating how you change the world, and it's by having confidence in who God says you are. It's being willing to go first and do what nobody else is doing and step forward when nobody else is stepping forward and take on the form of a servant. And then lastly, I wrote this down in my journal. He begins to really challenge these guys to join the movement. Let me show it to you. So again, don't be discouraged when you get challenged. Because I can tell you right now, if you come to know who Christ Jesus is, he will not leave you the same. He is in the transforming business, transforming you to a new creation in Christ Jesus. Make no bones about it. When you receive the gift, forgiveness of God, and you begin to commune with God on a regular basis, he will not leave you the same. I don't care if you're 5, if you're 15, if you're 24, if you're 35, if you're 75, if you're 95, or you're kicking the bucket and you're 110. God will not leave you the same. And if you're not being challenged by the Most High God through Christ Jesus in your life, you're not truly living. Because God is always going to push you to be something more. Look what it says in John 13, verses 12 through 16. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and he sat back down and he asked a question. Do you understand what I'm doing? Not what I'm just saying, but what I'm doing. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your teacher, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. Do the same. I've given you an example, he says, an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. He says, do as I've done to you. Execute what I have been showing you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are no greater than their masters. Nor is the messenger, that would be us today, more important than the one who sends the message. That would be God. It says we are not more important than the messenger. And when we look, or we're not more important than the message he sends. The message he sent is, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Whoever would believe in him will not waste away, will not perish, but have eternal life. That is his message. And we got to continue to carry that message out, and we got to live by the power of knowing that we have eternal life with a real God in a real world. And God doesn't bless us by knowing this information and not walking out of here and not doing anything with it. Many people are saying, God, I wish you'd bless me. I know so much about you. I heard you was a blesser. And God says, I am a blesser. If you're willing to do what I ask you to do, and step out of yourself and take on the challenge. See, this is where the rubber meets the road, my friends. The good coach, the great God, will challenge you to become more. He will not leave you comfortable. And some people like to get comfortable. And again, the moment we become comfortable, the moment I become comfortable is when God steps in and he begins to shake my behind up. Come on. I don't know about you, but I've gotten several shakeups in my life. And God says, I want to remind you who I am. I want to remind you of who you are. And I want to remind you we're on mission together in this world. You are my partner. You want to be blessed by me? Then walk and do as I've done. Look what it says here in verse 17. This is powerful, okay? And I want to show you this today because I believe the Easter season is going to be powerful, but God's challenging us as a church right now. The Bible says this in John 13, verse 17. He says, now that you know these things, slap your neighbor and say, don't you know them? Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Slap your neighbor and say, go do something. Come on, go ahead and tell them, go do something. See, that's the reality of it. Now that you know those things that Jesus says, now you know how to change the world. Now you know how to experience God. Now you know how to commune with God. Now you know who God is and you know what he's saying you are designed to do. He says, you want to be blessed by God. Don't just know the information. Go do something with it. And what Jesus is challenging this group of people, you know what, is to live by the power of an all-powerful God in their life and begin to serve the world around them as God supplies and we follow and do what he's asked us to do. God blesses us. My friends, that's the benefit. That's the benefit of following Christ. It's hard sometimes. It's difficult. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, not work for your salvation. Listen to me. We don't work for our salvation. Jesus did that work on a cross. But it says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, focus and beginning to know who God is and letting him speak into your life and do something with what he's teaching you. See, I think the hardest thing is for God to get us up off the couch so that we go out and do ministry and become who he's created us to be. And it's hard sometimes because I'm like, God, if I keep putting myself out there, if I keep doing this, I keep doing this, it keeps hurting and it's painful. I just want to remind you of how painful it was when Jesus went to the cross. He didn't do it because everybody was clapping, go, Jesus, go. He wasn't doing it because, you know, everybody thought he was awesome and incredible. Bible says he did it because he loved humanity way too much to leave us the same. He did it because he's operating with the power of the living God in him. He did it because, you know what, he had the power to commune with the Father on a regular basis and not let sin pull him down. He did it, and it was painful, but he did it for the joy set before him. And my friend, that joy was that you would believe. That you would believe, that your family would believe, that your friends would believe, that you would believe that he came to connect you with the living God. And the joy one day would be all of us would commune together in a real heaven with a real God, you know, and begin to commune with him all the days of our life. It takes courage to be a Christ follower. That's why one of the main reasons we shifted our name from being Barefoot Church to Valorous Church. Valorous. Everybody say Valorous.
Valorous.
Valor with an O-U-S on the end. It means to be brave. To be strong and brave in the face of the enemy. And my friend, we are truly as a church fighting a real battle. And our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is against the powers and principalities in the universe. But what we want to be is a people of valor, brave with the goodness of God and the things of God in the face of the one that is trying to come against us. I want you to get that in your spirit. And so the whole reason for shifting our name to that was simply because, you know, we didn't want to communicate, you know, just be barefoot and lay back. We wanted to communicate. No. God's calling you to do something. Come as you are. Come on. Come as you are. However, you're going to be challenged to be a part of God's amazing team and step up and let's do something great. Don't you want to display the goodness of God in the world? That's why we're valorous. So I invite you to invite some friends to a valorous Easter, because we're going to introduce them to the goodness of God, the greatness of God. But we're always on the other side of that going to continue to challenge them to let's keep reaching, let's keep doing, let's keep serving, let's keep giving, let's keep doing all of these things, because it's who God called us to be. My friends, the true identity of the local church is to take on the form of God. Let him begin to work through the various gifts. Let him be the head, download into us our spiritual gifts, put those gifts together, be unified, going in the same direction and making a difference in the community. To be on a city on a hill that draws other people, the disenfranchised, the broken, the ones who are hurting into God's family. Let's be strong. Let's be courageous. Let's be a brave people with the goodness of God. You are valorous. Let's follow Jesus' example and let's have a servant's heart. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. God, I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl, no matter what age or stage they're at. God, I know you're calling them to something. I know you're calling them to step in to your family and step up and become all you've created them to be. God, I know people are battling with all kinds of things in their life. But God, I pray you would give them the strength, the courage to cling to Jesus all the days of their life And God, that they would begin to understand that he first served us so we could believe in God and begin to connect to his amazing power as we live in this earth. My friend, if you've never connected to your heavenly Father, to your great God through Christ Jesus, understand that it is by faith in his sacrificial death on a cross that we begin to make this connection. It's believing in our heart that Jesus gave himself on a cross and shed his blood so we could connect with God. What an awesome sign of love. My friend, the Bible says we need to have faith that he resurrected from a grave and ascended back to heaven. The Bible says that he is sitting at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, putting all enemies under his feet. And my friend, I believe that with all of my heart, and I don't believe that you're an enemy of God. I believe you need to put your faith in the gift of God. His name is Jesus, and begin to trust him with your life. I'm going to challenge you to step in and begin to follow him and become all he's created you to be. But my friend, don't leave this place today without that relationship. If God is nudging your heart, you say, how do I enter into it? You just say, God, today, I recognize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. God, thank you for sending him on a cross. Thank you for the resurrection. And today I want to enter into that right relationship with him by faith. My friend, if you believe that in your heart, and you confess it in your mouth, the Bible says you are saved, you are salvaged. Now let's go work out your salvation with fear and trembling and let God speak into your heart. Jesus, you're amazing. You're awesome. You're incredible. We celebrate as your family today because of who you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen.